How do you feel when people watch the show and they say, she doesn't seem like she's on the autism spectrum?
I think that's just a great moment to say, well, what does an autistic girl look like? She looks like a girl.
As a child or a teen, did you start feeling like something's different?
Yeah, my whole life. The phrase that I always used was, how can I feel so smart and so stupid at the same time, right?
Enthusiastic consent remark.
Yes. For... Yeah, I was so proud that you know, Kian made the creative choice to let that part be part of the story.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. I have back on the program someone that I think it was 2010 that I first interviewed, this incredible person. We're talking about, yes, Jennifer Cook. And if you watch Love on the Spectrum US, she has been on both. The second season came out, I think it was January 19th. This is how much I pay attention.
You're right.
Yep. And I am in love with the show, as is my daughter. We watch it together. Now she finished it with me. Now she's watching it with her girlfriend. And I just love talking to Jennifer. She was identified as being on the spectrum in 2011. She's an autism advocate, an on-camera expert for Netflix, triple Emmy award-winning Love on the Spectrum US. She is the author of 9 best-selling books available in 8 languages, including the foundational, the Asper Kids Book of Social Rules, or Secret, I should say, Book of Social Rules, groundbreaking memoir, Autism Heals, and My Friend Julia, a Sesame Street book about autism.
Yeah, okay. New one.
Thank you. That is so exciting. Okay, so Jennifer, welcome back. I always love seeing you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me back, Lisa. I know you actually were my very first interview that I ever did with my first book. So, yep, first one. Yep.
We go way back
at this point. Yes.
It makes me so happy. So Every season of Love on the Spectrum, I have absolutely loved. If you haven't seen the season yet, come back. Go watch it because I'm going to give away some spoilers.
Yeah.
I fell in love with so many people on the show. I wish you were on more. That was my one complaint. I was like, they didn't have Jennifer on enough.
You're going to tell the directors that.
No. Matter of fact, the wonderful Lise, who is Connor's mom. First of all, she says hello. We've become friends.
Real
friends, like texting back.
You got to give her my number because I haven't talked to her since I saw Connor. So that would be great.
Fabulous. She told me you did do a one-on-one.
We did.
And you did teach him some things, which we're going to get to. And I thought, oh, they should have showed that. But I just wanted to say, when I turned on this season and the person asked these questions, you know, what is love? And Connor said, love is a dagger, a pretty thing that enchants, but also hurts. I thought, first of all, he needs to be friends with my daughter. Second of all, love, love, love. Third of all, holy cow, his mom, Lise, I was so impressed. I mean, I'm impressed with all the parents, but there was something about the way she gave him space.
Yes.
And she talked him down.
She did a great job. Yeah.
Isn't she amazing?
She's lovely.
And I just, everybody, I love Tanner. I love Danny. I love Abby, of course, and David and Journey.
I worked with her too. And that didn't get on either.
I would just say they didn't show that.
Now,
first of all, so for people who missed the first interview we did about this on Love on the Spectrum, how did you get involved with the show?
You know, I want to have this awesome, story of, the truth is I'm not entirely sure. When they were still just doing the Australian version of the show, because it started off in Australia, right?
And which I love as well. Michael.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Michael, right? And I hate to say characters because they're real people. They are though. They're characters. Same director, Keanu Cleary, and he is.
Yes.
I really truly only have good things to say about him. They're one of their producers. Got in touch with me. I don't know, you know, which thing I had done that had gotten their attention, but something did. And so we did an interview way back while they were still doing the Australian show, which I didn't, and this is my autism speaking here, Lisa. I didn't realize it was an interview. Didn't realize that. Just thought they were talking to me about hey, we're going to come to the US and who do you know and blah, 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 blah. So even once they got to the US and they were starting to formally scout for that role, they called me for another chat and I'm thinking again, they're just wanting to consult. And so it wasn't until I realized, and I had seen Jody Rogers do her part, right? She's lovely, and she's a lovely person. But I realized, okay, no, now I got this. This is, you know, and so then I'm being flown out, you know, and we're starting, and the ball was rolling. So it kind of was a pause, and boom, you're in it. You know, so it was a crazy story.
Before we continue talking about the show, I want to jump into your journey. So you were diagnosed 2011.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a child or a teen, did you start feeling like something's different?
Yeah, my whole life. The phrase that I always used was how can I feel so smart and so stupid at the same time, right? Things that seemed, right, academics were my go-to. I was really, and, you know, but they weren't the only thing I did well. So I don't want to make a caricature out of that either, you know, right? I mean, I played sports, varsity level. I was in the arts and, you know, had the lead in the school play, like all that stuff. Yeah. So I was thriving, but definitely socially, it was I wasn't as nuanced. I wasn't savvy. That's what it was. I wasn't savvy in the same way that I could be about every other thing. And it definitely, you know, I felt it. I was bullied terribly in middle school. High school, I was fine. But I could really feel the difference of, I was different. By the time I got to college, I mean, I was a college cheerleader. I was the social chair for my sorority. That does not sound autistic, I realize. Quote, air quotes.
So different than my daughter's experience.
Air quotes, right? I know. But what I did was still, I realized I was studying things all the time. I was studying social cues. I was making up my own social rules, if you will, that eventually, mm-hmm. once I got diagnosed, turned into my second book. Because it was just a matter of having literally made an academic study out of like a psychological, you know, my own personal psychology study out of everybody else. So, yeah.
Right. How do you feel when people watch the show and they say, she doesn't seem like she's on the autism spectrum?
I think that's just a great moment to say, well, that is kind of the point, right? A lot of the things I know you were just mentioning a post on my Instagram where I'll do like throwback pictures. And making the point, like, well, what does an autistic girl look like? She looks like a girl, whatever that looks like in your mind, because there ain't no difference, right? And it's an internal experience. And, for me, things were just explained away by two things frequently. Number one, I'm an only child. So it was maybe she's more comfortable with adults than her peers because of that. And then the other one was just because they said she's too smart for her own good, and that's the issue. Which I have to say, like, would you ever say that about a young boy? I'm just wondering. Like, I don't know. Would you ever say too smart for your own good? I don't know.
Some sexism in that for sure.
Yeah, I kind of think so. Yeah. So for sure I get it, and I just try to turn it into a teaching moment.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really important. Now, I understand that I've heard you're not supposed to say high functioning and low functioning. That's what I said for years. What are the correct terms?
Okay, so here's what I say, because first of all, the last thing I want is for people to get tongue tied and lost in anxiety that they're going to hurt someone's feelings. Right. And right, that's the worst thing, because I feel like, I don't get political, but here's my political moment. Like in this country, my God, we need to be able to talk to each other. And if we're so worried about tripping up and saying the wrong word, not even the wrong idea or concept, then we're never going to get anywhere. So you will never see me get offended, you know, by someone's word choice. What I don't love about high functioning, low functioning, or levels of 1, 2, 3, you know, I've had people ask me what level. There wasn't even a level when I was diagnosed. It was Asperger's back in the day, you know?
Right.
So it wasn't even autism back then. Well, it was, but it wasn't generalized autism. I like to say, because it's non-comparative in any way, I like to say more or less obviously in need of support. Because it is the obviously, more or less obviously in need, right? Because it is very, very true that people with ASD level 1, to use that term, and again, I don't like it. I think that's where you get some of the greatest levels of depression and suicide, because you look at someone and they don't, quote unquote, look like they need help, but desperately they do, right?
Yes.
It's just a different kind of support that's needed. You know, so I think that's how I like to phrase it, more or less obviously in need of support.
Oh, I'm so glad we're having this conversation because I thought The Levels was something new. So
it is. You're right. You're right.
Oh, that is new?
Yeah, that's relatively new.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, my daughter definitely had a hard time socially.
Yeah.
Because she had friends.
Right.
And then until like third grade, and then in fourth grade, when she still liked to do younger kid things, they're like, that's weird. And then, you know,
I get that. I completely get that. And as you know, my three kids are on the spectrum too. So, I mean, I went through that, you know, I definitely saw that experience. I have a daughter and two sons. And so I saw it from that perspective as well. Yeah, no, I get it. It's a different kind of play.
And,
you know, and there's an intensity to it. And I think that can confuse other kids or be off-putting to other kids.
So when you got your diagnosis, it was because your kids had gotten theirs?
After the kids. And I basically took, you know, I figured if all three of them, like there's got to be something genetic. Who is it? What's going on? Unbeknownst to me, their dad got diagnosed, but I really thought of my own father. My dad he had passed away very recently, very near to their being diagnosed, right before they were. Mm-hmm. So I had no way of checking in with him about this, but the man was an absent-minded professor to like the T. He was a brilliant attorney, but oh my God, he'd like, you know, he would rock back and forth on his feet. He would like would forget people's names for the longest. Like it was essentially like not there. And so I kind of thought maybe I'm a missing link, you know, and I really had to advocate for it. I really had to go in and take a look at, because there were no criteria for girls or women at that time. There was nothing other than a very classic presentation, which wasn't me, you know, so I took the Asperger's presentation that related to boys. And again, we're talking about boys, not even men. We're talking about kids, right?
Right.
And said, well, what needs could these behaviors be fulfilling? And if I needed to fill those needs, how might I do so? And kind of went through and made my own little checklist and brought it into the psychologist. And that's how I ended up, you know, with the check mark. Yeah. Verified.
So. Yeah. You know, in 2014, I helped co-edit a book that you are a part of.
Yes.
And Henry Winkler is in.
Yes.
You were up the
That's what I was saying. It says O'Toole at the time. That's right. It's fine. It's fine.
This book was so before its time.
Yes.
Because we didn't even have the word neurodivergent.
No. Nope.
I want to get in touch with the publisher and see if I can do a second one or revamp it or something.
Love
because
that
it's
idea.
Such an important book.
Yes.
You wrote the foreword and you share a really great story about a Monopoly game. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, strategy, not my forte, which as an adult looks like social challenges at work and, you know, office politics and you have no idea what you're doing. So we were playing Monopoly with my family and I tried to make some deal with my daughter, some like property deal with my daughter. And my mom got really upset with me and she thought I was trying to finagle my daughter out of, you know, her Monopoly cash. I was heartbroken. I would never try to finagle a child even in a game, you know?
Yeah.
And really what it was there was some strategy about the corner properties or right near the, anyway, it eluded me entirely. And it apparently was something that was very obvious to everybody else. And it was and it was really upsetting to me because to me, those are the valleys that where you see our autism in its not pretty forms, right? We fall. And she really, you know, questioned it later on, what was going on? How could I not understand? And I said to her, that's the autism, you know, that's the when I feel so smart, but so stupid at the same time. And, you know, and so, that was definitely an eye-opening moment. And I still, you know, lose a Monopoly every time, but that's okay. I lose it like Candyland, so it's all right.
How did your mom react to your diagnosis?
At first, you know, I think it was sort of a what, you know, what is it? You know, what is this? And kind of do we need to know this? And is this really such a big deal? Now, you know, I think that it's obviously become, well, I didn't expect it to become a profession, that's for sure, nor did I expect it to take over my life in good ways, you know.
Yes.
But I think that now I think she's at least proud of what I've done with it.
Oh, of course. Especially how could she not be?
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm sure. Well, let's jump back into the show again. Sure. If you're just joining us, I'm talking to the wonderful Jennifer Cook. She was the fantastic autism expert on season 2 of Love on the Spectrum. Again, if you haven't seen the show, go and watch it and come back, because I want to talk about Tanner. Oh my God, what a love.
Oh, right?
So much energy.
How
oh my
do you
gosh.
Not want to like adore this person?
It's so funny because my daughter's like, I want to be friends with Connor. Yeah. And her partner's like, I want to be friends with Tanner.
Yeah.
I mean, they both think they're both awesome.
Oh, they are.
They are, right? And what I loved about it is that when you were counseling with him, you were talking about, he was going on this date.
Yes.
And you said, where should you stand? And he said, well, I'll stand in front because he's very old fashioned. He's like, because of this, I'm the boy, or this is my girl.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm, because I'm the boy.
And I have to lead.
Yeah.
And he said, well, let's try that.
Right.
How is this going for conversation? Let's stand next to each other. Like, I love that demonstration.
Thank you.
Talk to us about that and how important it is when you're working with people on the spectrum or with us. Just people.
Like, this is you know, nobody likes to have a finger wagged in their face and said, you're wrong.
Right.
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 That doesn't teach anybody nearly as much as allowing for self-discovery. And so it's really funny that when we were going in there, you know, I don't get much information ahead of the time. Right before I'm going to work with somebody, I get very little information.
Oh, okay.
So it's like you're going in there and, you know, you're on, lady. Right. So I. So I said to Kian, you know, does he know where to stand? And Kian sort of says to me, like, what do you mean? Oh, he's fine with that. It's a conversation thing. And I was like, okay, well, we can work on that. And I sat with the first things that we worked on together really was actually just defining the difference between a friend and a girlfriend. And making a checklist, which was which and what was what. But then I threw it out there and he obviously definitely had a different concept on where I'm going to stand on a date. It was time to kind of go in and walk through it. And that's one of the things that I say to folks who do work with people on the spectrum. You know, again, like you just said, I say this to people who work with people.
Right.
Period. You know, let them discover through role play. Through improv and role play, you know, with guidance, right? And so allowing him to experience what that might be like in real time, but then having a place to go with the confusion of now, what the heck do I do, right? Giving him that opportunity, as opposed to condescending to him and saying, no, you're doing it wrong, and here's why.
Right.
You know, it's one of the things that I have felt very strongly about. You mentioned in the beginning of the show, my secret book of social rules, and that that book has sold over 100,000 copies in English alone. It's in like six different languages. I say that because I truly wrote that initially. I started writing it for myself. It was things that I was noticing. That were these implicit social rules that nobody had really taught me. But I made a point in writing that book, and this was at my daughter's behest, and I think it was still some of the best advice that she's given me, or that I've gotten, really, and it was from my kiddo, was it is chock full of social missteps, but they're all my missteps. Because nobody wants to have their own errors pointed out. Like, nobody responds well to that. So if I had just said to him, no, we're going to stand next to each other, that's just one thing to memorize, as opposed to experiencing it and realizing the why. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I thought it was really funny how he ended up on a date with a woman who's very quiet.
I know.
Oh my gosh, because he's very verbose like me. And it was really good that after the date that you were able to say, you know, teach him how to draw the person out. And, you know, if they say, they just answer with one word. Say, oh, tell me more about that.
Right.
But even with that, she was very much of a just one or two word answer.
Yeah.
I can see they were really enjoying each other. I love when he was like, I like you because you're fun and you're pretty and you're cute and you're this and you're that. And he's like, what about me? And
what do we like about me? Handsome. Yep. Yeah.
Well, she was handsome.
But you're 100% right.
Oh,
like, golly.
Different personality type. I kept feeling like, there's got to be someone, not that I didn't like her, but
somebody
there's got
to
be somebody who's a little, because otherwise it could be uncomfortable for him.
Yeah.
You know?
When we talk, you know, and as you saw, we then talked on Zoom as a follow-up. And when we did, you know, one of the things that I noticed was there was just something in his countenance that seemed almost sad. And that's when I pointed out, like, you're he really was feeling the burden of having to be joyful and keep it going for everyone. Right. And I think that's so dangerous if that becomes part of your identity, right?
Yes,
you know, because his kind of buzz phrase is spread the joy, share the joy, which I love because he is just a joyful human being. We all also need to know that if we're afraid or quiet, it's okay too.
Yes.
And he needed to hear that, right? So what I was so proud of him that he did was when I had said to him, you know, what you can say is you can say, I don't know what else to say, but I'm having a good time. And he used it verbatim on the show. I was like, go, Tanner! You know, like, it was a great moment. Because, yeah, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to have on yourself. And I think, you know, it's good. It's just good dating advice or just communication advice. Like, nobody should have to keep the entire thing going. And if you're feeling that way, then that's okay. It's okay to step back and, you know, and sort of reevaluate.
Well, I love that you said to him, people are still going to like you. You don't have to be up all the time. Because I think if you start associating, that's who I am, that's why they like me.
Yeah.
They're not going to like me if I'm suddenly blue one day. That's everybody gets upset.
That's exactly right. That's reality. Great. Yeah. And that's something I see a lot with my coaching clients is that feeling of obligatory highness, you know, and that's exhausting.
Let's talk about Dani. Love her whole thing about, you know, the premarital sex and your enthusiastic consent remark.
Yeah, I was so proud that you know, Kian made the creative choice to let that part be part of the story, you know, and let that be part of the discussion. And Dani said she's gotten a little bit of flack for it, but for the most part, I have no idea, but, you know, but we're women, Lisa.
I thought it was people don't think autistic people.
I think there's that too. I think there's that too. There's an infantilization that happens, you know, with any kind of disability, and it makes people quote unquote uncomfortable. And tough nookie books, that's on them.
My daughter and I have been talking about sex forever, and let me tell you, I'm a very liberal mom, believe it at that. And I have to say, I'm glad she's gay because I don't have to worry about.
There's a lot not to worry about. Yeah.
That, you know, pregnancy.
No birth control. Yeah, exactly.
No, so I was really excited that was brought up because I don't think it had been on other seasons.
No, not at all. Not at all. It wasn't really pertinent, you know what I mean, to anybody else's kind of journey. But yeah, I was so glad that got to be part of the conversation. And that was a long Zoom call, and it was a very explicit Zoom call, and, you know, obviously not everything from that gets on.
I'd love to see that.
I know. But that, you know, just making sure that what I emphasized a lot was that outside of the relationship, did she already understand her own sexuality? Did she know how to be a sexually healthy human being outside of having a fulfilling relationship? You know, that was important. And then making sure that she was coming to it in a good way, you know, and how to ask him about it and everything. But yeah, so all that was part of the conversation. Yeah.
Again, if you haven't watched the show, you're already supposed to go away. If you haven't gone you're going to get more spoilers.
That
was brilliant.
Yeah, I know.
When she was trying to teach Adon to kiss and they're licking the cupcakes. That was great.
That's hysterical.
Really smart. I wonder if she read that somewhere.
She said it was from YouTube. Apparently they had a good conversation about that before they brought out the cupcakes. But again, that didn't make it to him, you know? So there's only so much that can make it, you know? But
I'm assuming it's just very costly and time consuming because there's 7 episodes and I feel like there should be 30. Like I'm like, where is more? Like my daughter and her partner on the last episode and they're like, what? Yeah. There's only 7.
I know. There could definitely be more. And the response has been so phenomenal. I mean, it really has been, globally. This has been, you know, it's been almost a month now. And I think this is the first time we're out of the top 10, like was today. I'm not joking. Like on Netflix,
you're killing it.
Absolutely. And there was one point where it was number 5 in the English speaking world. You know, I mean, what? You know, so, and
that is so
just
exciting.
The people who are liking it are, you know, just so surprising and that's cool. And,
tell us more about that.
Well, I know you've got a background. Howard Stern apparently is a huge fan.
And I love Howard. Yes. Yeah. He loves the show.
I was on there. John Lieberman interviewed me.
Oh, that's great. Oh, a hard look. Week.
Yes. Yeah. Hard look. And you know, so
that's fantastic.
Thank you. And he said,
I got to go back and listen. Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah,
no, that's okay. But you know, and he said, so are you surprised? And I said, at this point I'm not, I mean, like it's, you know, Bradley Cooper had just come out and said, Kim Kardashian, Barack Obama loves the show. I mean, like, how do you argue with that? Like, it's just a good people show. And so that makes me happy. That makes me just really, really happy. I've only had one, and I'm going to, like I say, troll, it's not even the right thing. I had one person kind of object, basically they were homophobic. And there was one person though, out of, tens of thousands of people who are responding to things and one person be ick. And so it's been pretty amazing.
That is really good. Of course, a big highlight was seeing Abby and David go to Africa. That was beautiful when they saw the lion cubs.
I know. I want to go to Africa and sit in a bathtub and just have a fabulous trip. I love that idea.
I do.
It was pretty cool.
It was so good. Now, I want to talk to you about your website. You have a video from a few years ago called The Big Three Questions.
Oh, yeah.
I highly encourage people to check it out. So if it's in your mind, if you can share one of those, I think it was how important is a diagnosis?
I remember that. One of the things, so I don't believe that you have to get a formal diagnosis from a clinician if that is something that is out of your price range.
It's very
expensive. It is out of your price range. It is, not something you can do for, there are a lot of reasons, honestly. There are a lot of reasons that get in the way. I think that should never be, make support be exclusionary, right? I think understanding who you are and how you are, right? It's the how in this case, not the who, but, is essential. In the same way that every element of self-discovery is essential. You've got to know, when I say about labels, right? Labels are important only to know how to react to it in a specific situation. So, if I go looking for the little author's room, nobody's going to point me to the right bathroom, right? I mean, to a bathroom or a bathroom in general, right? You've got to have a word to respond to. And if this case, it's neurodivergent or on the spectrum or autistic, whatever sits right with your heart, there's a validation though in that. And there is a lot to be said for having language to then ask for what you need and to understand yourself so that you're not sitting there thinking like I did, how could I be so smart but so stupid? Instead when you realize it's not a fault of yourself in any way, shape, or form. And in fact, that you can learn a whole lot of stuff and other people may intuit, but you've got to learn it. Okay, fine. So you can learn it, it changes things. So And the other, I think one of the other questions was, how do you tell someone they're autistic? And I think a lot of it is, I think a lot of the resistance that people may have if you encounter that, it's because of what autism means to them. Right. So if autism is equated with something less than or deficiencies, as opposed to, and that's sadly the way a diagnosis comes about often is by listing all the things that are wrong and how bad are they and how is that?
Right.
Because you can get to the same place by saying, what are their aptitudes? What are their passions? What are they into? And how do they show it? Right.
Yeah.
So if you're able to say to somebody, I think that this resonates because of all your talents and these abilities that I see
in you,
right? That would be fantastic as opposed to, I think you might be autistic and these are the problems that are making me think that way. Well, who wants to, that's hard. Right. That's hard.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
You should redo the whole thing.
Probably never should. It's been a while. Yeah.
No, I meant you should redo the whole testing and stuff.
Oh, thank you. It'd be great. Positive. Yeah. Yeah. Because just so somebody says, I'm an autism expert. Okay. You still have to ask, what is your experience with, say, for example, women in autism and just children, right? Like, what about adults and specifically women? How much do you do? Because a lot of people will profess to be, and then you get a misdiagnosis and you've spent all this much money. And then also you're not being identified properly. And then it's just deflating. And then that's going to be all sorts of bad things. Yeah, invalidating. So I remember taking my daughter to a neuropsych when she was 5, 6, and I was told she's not weird enough to be autistic.
Oy.
So
I'm like, good boy.
So wow, I was like, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, that's why I do a lot of interviewing before I'm willing to concur with someone that they're in an area of their expertise. Just because they say it doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah, that is such good advice. So. Do you know if there'll be a third season of Love on the Spectrum?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I know that they are out interviewing people again. So So if you're interested in being on, get in touch with Northern Pictures on Instagram, that's the best way to do it.
Good.
Yeah. So they're looking, which is
Recently they have another show. It's Never Too Late.
Never Too Late.
What is that?
I'm not sure. It's in Australia. It's one of
The Australians.
Yeah. So it's I think it's the idea of people who've never been on a date in their lives kind of thing. But there's no disability related anything. So
sure.
I understand it. Yeah.
Right. The other thing I love about this show is the LGBTQ Commute Plus.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, like I mentioned earlier, Journey was fabulous.
She's a sweetheart.
I wish they showed you working with her. What did you talk about if you're allowed to?
It was one of the questions. I remember one of the questions she asked me and she said to me, so. And again, this goes to because people on the spectrum are often looking for rules to follow because rules help you not mess up, right? That's the idea.
Yes.
Right? You don't want to feel embarrassed. I mean, come on, it makes sense. So she was, I think, had been doing some research and was trying to find quote unquote dating rules, but for girls with girls, right? And she hadn't found anything. So she said to me, she said, so when I go out on the date, like who's the guy? And I said to her, well, nobody. That's sort of the point. I believe that is part of the point, what you want, Journey, but I understood what she was asking, right?
Yes.
In that she was saying, who pulls the chair out, who pays, who does, right? And all those things were just sort of antiquated. I think pulling a chair out is very nice to do. And I think offering to pay is a very nice thing to do, but we shouldn't always assume that it's the man going to do that anyway. Right. And so I said to her, that basically, and that it could be anybody who just feels like being kind, And so we did some exercises with things that were outside of her control and things that were inside of her control because she was feeling very anxious. So, if we get to do that again next season, I have kind of a cool activity I want to do with somebody. So she was just feeling real, real nervous, about it all. Yeah. But she's a very sweet girl. She's so young. I mean, she's 18,
She's 18.
She's a baby.
I enjoyed both her dates.
Yeah.
They're both really good.
I know.
I hope she stays friends. The first woman, especially, I felt like she had a light, playful energy.
I agreed. Yeah. So I felt so protective of her just because of her age, which is,
Yes. And she dresses very young.
She does.
My daughter said that's a thing. It's called kidcore.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yes. I've heard of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My daughter's really into cottagecore. House on the Prairie.
Yes. Well, I'm loving it. I love that.
Without the bonnet.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is when I interviewed Lise, which was such a delight.
Yes.
And Connor got to meet Lila. If everyone, if you haven't seen it, go to my Instagram at Lisa Davis MPH. The clip is so cute when Connor asked her about the Dragon Prince, which Lila loves, and his whole face.
She loves him so much.
Tell us a little bit about what you did with Connor, because Lise had mentioned it in our interview, and it has something to do with bees or putting equals. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can hear them in when they're sitting down after the speed dating situation the next day. Both she and Connor mentioned, but did you find any equals? And yes, they found an equal. That's what they're talking about. Right. Because what I was drawing and we were making the point, right, that you're looking for essentially commonalities and that you were looking for ways to draw equal signs with somebody. And so that was the visual that we were using to mean I find something in common with you. Right. So that it didn't have to be on all things. You didn't have to have 10 equals. You just had to have one to be able to have a conversation.
Yes. Yeah. I really wish they had kept that in.
Yeah. That would be fun.
I need to get in touch with the guy who runs the show or woman who runs it.
Yes.
I think, more Jennifer, please. Because I think that's so helpful. And then if you're watching at home and you have kids on the spectrum and you need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or loved ones.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to disagree with you.
Favorite, except there wasn't enough.
Well, feel free to send that on to anyone. Absolutely. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is important. Yeah.
Now, before we go, tell us some of the things that you're currently doing, and then of course, ways people can find you, and then I hope you'll come back because I just adore you.
I would be happy to at any point, of course. So what did we? Well, I just finished, and this was so sad. I got to consult with How to Dance in Ohio, the Broadway musical that was out. That was so stinking nominal, and then it closed.
What?
Oh, it's on February 11th. I'm so upset. It was amazing.
Did it close early or did it
close? Sales. And they got more press coverage. Like Variety was calling them out. They were on every channel that you could be. Anyway, the show was amazing. So I got to work with them some and that was pretty cool. And then the project I've been working on most recently is with Joey Travolta. And it's called Lights, Camera, Friendship. And basically, if you can imagine Love on the Spectrum, but for 20-somethings making friends. And the whole concept of developing friendships and learning, you know, doing some of the teaching that I did on Lots. We've done in three different cities. And the first one debuted at the San Diego International Film Festival in October. So we're hoping to find a streaming service that'll then pick. They wanted to finish the whole series, make it a whole docuseries to then scout out. Yeah. So that's what they're doing now. They're editing and then they'll be scouting. So
now the way I heard about the Ohio,
How to Dance in Ohio. Mm-hmm, yep.
Yes. Was I saw on Abby's Instagram that they had gone. What was that about?
Oh, so it was all the best part of it. It was that it was all autistic actors doing the roles of autistic people. It's actually based on an HBO documentary, which was about a social skills group of 20-somethings where the psychologist decided that they were going to have a spring formal. And so it's all the adulting and elements that go into that kind of rite of passage. And so it was beautiful. The music is phenomenal. But unfortunately right now it's just a junky time ever since the pandemic, really, for Broadway.
Yeah. You know,
the lights go out frequently, but they're going to tour it. So if it comes near you, you need to see, you need to see it. I mean, it was so good. Yes.
I'll take Lila and her girlfriend. So they love theater.
Yes.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I love having you on. It's like talking to a little friend.
I know.
Tell us all the ways we can find you and all your great work.
Sure. So JenniferCookAuthor.com is the website. Then on Instagram, it's Jennifer Cook Author. And can we guess on Facebook? Also, Jennifer Cook Author. So there we go.
There's on the end of Cook, right?
Nope.
I'm glad I brought that up.
That's okay. Yeah. JenniferCook, author.com. So yeah, you can always just Google. It'll correct you, if you're spelling wrong. So thank you for asking though.
Yes. Jennifer, this has been such a delight. Everybody keep coming back to Health Power. I'm going to be starting a regular segment on neurodivergence and I'm going to be asking Jennifer to come back again.
Sure.
Maybe be a regular, of course, no pressure.
There you go.
I'm going to ask you often. I'm going to be joined by Lise as often as she can join me, Connor's mom. I'm going to get some of the other moms. I'm going to get some more authors. I want to reread your books. It's been a while. I want to have you on so we can really go through that, both of your books. And of course, the Sesame Street thing. Before I let you go, you got to tell us a little about that. I mean, Sesame Street.
I mean, I've spoken at the White House and done some cool things. And I'll tell you, the Sesame Street thing is the coolest. Because come on, right? Yeah. So basically, I had helped in the development of Julia, but getting to write her, her intro, it's a Sesame Street book about autism and getting to explain autism, platform on autism. I got to put those words in the mouths of the Muppets, and that was pretty dang cool. So yeah. So it was amazing. It was hard. It was a hard book to write. I honestly bet. To get those concepts into juvenile enough words, right? But to be able to still have it be something that teaches the adults too, that was tricky.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Jennifer, you're awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. Everybody, absolutely, keep coming back 5 days a week. Lots of great stuff. And I'm just so excited. And go watch Love on the Spectrum.
Yes.
Start wherever you want, but I would recommend season one. I like both versions, Australia and America. Of course, you get Jennifer in America, though. But they are both great. And I'm just so thrilled. So everybody, keep coming back. Rate, review, subscribe, and have a great day. Thanks so much.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy. And Lisa?
At Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.